doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Pat Crane. I am joined by John Daigle of NBC Sports Edge. We're going to be going through Week 8's waiver wire pickups. Daigle, how's it going?
Everything is going well. It is a light waiver wire week. Not as many pressing buys we need to address. Nonetheless, we'll talk about the weekly backup running back situation, the backup lottery that I'm sure we're all excited to grab, and then a couple other instances that happened. Actually, today, some breaking news.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into all that. And, you know, to be honest, I'm kind of glad that it's a little bit of a light waiver wire week. A couple weeks ago, we had a light waiver wire week. It felt a little disappointing. After the bye weeks of last week, I'm ready for some light waiver wires, us not scrambling to fill every one of our flexes. But there are some guys that are interesting. I think maybe let's start with the backfields here. Both the Eagles backfield and the Dolphins backfield are interesting because of some injuries. Miles Sanders, Malcolm Brown. So some options now opening up, but neither is like extremely straightforward. So how are you looking at those two backfields?
So we saw that Miles Sanders only played 12 snaps yesterday, and basically it was only Kenny Gainwell involved for that first touchdown receiving score before then. Boston Scott, as we know, does not play while both are healthy. But what happened after that was Sanders now week-to-week reportedly with this ankle sprain is that Gainwell ended up playing 35 snaps, running 24 routes, whereas Boston Scott also came in for 23 snaps and 12 routes. Historically this year, we know that Gainwell is the pass-catching back. So I think it's inarguable, actually, that Gainwell has the higher ceiling. Also, probably still on a lot of deeper league rosters since we discussed him 2 weeks ago before – as we talked about in the preview show, the pendulum swung for no good reason one direction and suddenly gave Miles Sanders all the touches in that backfield. And so since we are assuming that Gainwell is going to be out for at least 3-4 weeks, that Sanders is going to be out that long, then Gainwell is the guy we should be targeting, whereas Scott's still a very fine pickup. But Gainwell is the guy here that actually does have the middle-of-the-road fringe RB1, RB2 ceiling.
Yeah, I agree. Gainwell's definitely the guy that's more interesting, but Scott can catch passes, so it's not like a classic example of kind of a two-down grinder backup with a pass catcher who's going to be in kind of a 1A role, which I do think Gainwell will be in a 1A role in his pass catcher, so he's very interesting. But Scott's like a little more interesting than the typical third guy here. In leagues where Gainwell's already been picked up, how interested are you in trying to add Scott?
Oh, absolutely. I still probably won't go overboard. I wonder if he does even have an RB2 like floor we can confidently start when there are only four teams on bye. But it is good that he did handle 3 or 4 running back touches inside the 10, even though Gainwell was still there for targets. So that's kind of what we're depending on, is that he's more of a double-digit touch most likely, but also goal line role. And that's what we're banking on.
Yep. And then what would you be looking to spend on Gainwell in leagues where he is available?
Gosh, where he is available. And again, it's deeper leagues. He's not really even available. But in shallower leagues, now that we can assume we're going to have him for at least the next month as a RB2 high floor option, especially in PPR leagues, remaining fab percent, I guess we're looking at, 18 to 20% remaining. If you are very desperate, I know a lot of people have a ton of injuries and bye weeks still to fill, maybe even higher than that. I have quite a bit of confidence in Gainwell.
Yeah, I would actually be fine with something more like 30% of remaining, maybe even 35%, mm-hmm. because you're going to have something, you know, in Gainwell that he's going to be at least like somewhat usable once Sanders comes back. And as we know with these injuries, sometimes they linger. Sometimes there's, you know, a re-injury. But even if there's not, even if you get a couple starting weeks out of Gainwell and then he goes back to a reserve role, you might still feel okay about keeping him if he manages to use this playing time to get back to where he was a couple weeks ago, where he was starting to look like he was an ascending player. So this could kind of launch him back to really challenge Sanders' role a little bit more down the stretch. This is kind of part of the play with Gainwell to begin with. That's why he's been rostered in all of these deeper leagues this whole time.
Totally agree with you.
What about the Dolphins? How are you playing that?
So we also saw Malcolm Brown get 5 snaps and handle the team's first 4 backfield touches. But what happened beyond that was clearly with 3 usually active on game days, it then became the Myles Gaskin show because running back touches from that point forward were Myles Gaskin, a season-high mark, 19, to Savon Ahmed's 9. Gaskin also outsnapped Ahmed, 46-22, and recorded all 3 running back touches inside the 10. We also have seen, with 2 in particular, but more or less the past month, that Miami has basically abandoned the run and become more of a passing team. And that trait goes specifically to Gaskin. So no matter what happens here, whether it's – and Malcolm Brown was put on IR, so it's not really just short-term. But I would say, like, if you need to patch a bye week, and I know there are some shallow leagues, maybe even some deeper leagues, honestly, where Gaskin was just dropped. And that wasn't an egregious decision at all, considering, like, it was always a whack-a-mole backfield until this point in time, whereas Gaskin just offers a completely different skill set than Ahmed. Then I think I would actually bid even more on Gaskin than Gainwell, wherever he's at, because I have much more confidence in his role in the offense.
I agree with that. What about Ahmed compared to Scott?
Ahmed, interested in, but I would be more interested in Scott because I don't even know if Ahmed's going to have the goal line role. I already just mentioned about the 3 touches for Gaskin because they can put him inside the 10 confidently to pass block and catch from that role. And so if that's what it's going to be and they're still going to allow Tua to continue dropping back and throwing at a 61% rate in neutral game script, then that's going to be mostly Gaskin. So Ahmed, I will definitely be lighter on than Scott.
I agree with that too. Yeah, I think Scott has some touchdown upside. You certainly feel more comfortable putting
Gaskin
Scott in.
Also, you could still be a little more confident in Gaskin knowing that we don't really have a timetable on Devontae Parker, and Will Fuller looks like he's going to be out against Buffalo as well. So this is a 1-16, the Dolphins, and now they're going to play the Bills off a bye. And remember, like, this is now, not only did the Dolphins go to London and then play the Falcons off a bye, they get another team off a bye. When Brian Flores told the league he didn't want to buy after London, like, these are the crimes that happened. This is what happened. And so in a negative game script, like, if we expect the Bills to just lay the wood on them, then, like, that's all Gaskin. Ahmed would not be in. I don't know. Am I breaking up? Or it may be your internet. It's a very bad storm here is the very big issue. I will continue talking, and I hope everyone can hear me. The Packers situation without Devontae Adams. Let's start there. And what we know so far is that Marquez Valdes-Scantling may or may not be out. Sounds like they are quote-unquote hopeful he's going to return on Thursday night. The good news is, though, Alan Lazard, if we assume Devontae Adams is out, Devontae Adams is vaccinated. He only needs 2 negative tests 24 hours apart to return. But it's still so soon to return since he got ruled out or put on the COVID list on Monday afternoon. To get back by Thursday night is cutting it so close. And so I would assume it's going to be Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb available no matter what happens with the other two, Adams and Valdes-Scantling. The good thing is Lazard, 17-21% target share in the past 2 games. As we talked about in the recap show, Devontae Adams, what happened from weeks 2 through 5, a 39.8% target share and 13.5 targets per game, has dipped significantly to 6 targets per game and a 20% target share the past 2 weeks, which has allowed Lazard and Tonyan more opportunity. So even if it is Valdes-Scantling on the other side or not, that just tells us either way, Lazard is going to be the one on the field for every snap. So that's why I think Lazard is a pretty significant bid ready to go as a short-term option, since Adams is vaccinated and will be back in week 9.
Yep, that makes sense. What about, you're not at all interested in MVS just because of the tight turn with the hammy?
I am, but also soft tissue injury for a speed guy. That's dangerous. Yep. And we do not know his role. We have no idea, one, if he's going to be available, two, if he's going to be limited.
Yeah, that's very fair. I also think in leagues where Robert Tonyan hit waivers, he had a nice week this past week, and he's only run a route on 67% of dropbacks this year. Pretty easy to see him up to 80, 85% in a game where they just kind of need more playmakers. If they don't have MVS available at all, or if he's very limited, we're talking about like Equanimeous St. Brown on the outside. And that's, the Packers are not going to be excited about that, I don't think. So you could see more routes from Tonyan. I think, you know, certainly Aaron Jones has a lot of upside, but he's owned everywhere. So from a waiver wire's perspective, I think Tonyan would be interesting to add back in some shallower leagues if he was dropped.
Cobb, too. We know the personnel comes down to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers brought back Cobb for this reason. I would expect him to run more routes, and he seems like the guy that could have like 20 yards and two touchdowns, honestly, because that's who Rodgers would trust inside the 10-yard line more than anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what this, Adams' absence could open up, is some of that red zone work that, you know, he just has such a big lock on. So that's a good point, too. Let me take a quick break here to let the people know you can get an edge in your fantasy league with player rankings, projections, tiers, and alerts for players on your team or who you're eyeing on the waiver wire by signing up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Do it at a discount using the code GOOD10 and get 10% off your annual subscription.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before my internet broke up, Daigle, I was trying to throw to the Giants situation. How are you looking at these Giants wide receivers?
It genuinely all depends on who is available. It is either malpractice or hope, optimism, coming from the Giants organization and coaching staff that Kenny Golladay hasn't practiced for 2 weeks. Saquon Barkley hasn't practiced for 2 weeks. Kadarius Toney was unavailable for practice all last week, and none have been discussed as IR options. Like, if they miss a third game, that is just the worst possible scenario and the worst way to handle all of them, because then we are either looking at them, putting them on IR and leave them out for an extra 3 games, or just continuing to play the week-to-week card and wasting IR slots that could have gone to other players rather than just calling up David Steele for 10 routes like they did this past week. What we did see, though, was Darius Slayton heavily involved, and more importantly, leading the team and routes run at, as someone who did in the past as well, have rapport with Daniel Jones. More importantly now, a important Chiefs game, a defense that we don't trust at all to stop no matter who is on the other side of the field. So that's why I'm attacking pretty much whichever Giants receivers, Slayton, Pettis, in that order. We'll see if Sterling Shepard comes back after his Thursday setback. Shepard would obviously be the most important one, even though he's not in a lot of waiver wires, but that's the order I would attack them in and pretty much start them immediately this week.
Yeah, Shepard, I completely agree, would be the guy. But yeah, he's not going to be available that many places. But what about some of these deep cuts? I think we covered the big topics. Let's get into the deep cuts.
So I'll just name a few, and then you can name a few, but I just want everyone to remember that before the bye, Dawson Knox broke his hand, and the only other tight end they have on their roster as this time of this podcast is Tommy Sweeney. He's the only one other available to run a route. He also caught the touchdown that Dawson Knox threw, and so he's going to be out there on the field. Now, Cole Beasley is still available in the majority of leagues, and what we saw was a season-high rate of 11 personnel from the Bills once Dawson Knox exited because, of course, it was more 3 wide receiver sets because Dawson Knox was replacing essentially Cole Beasley this year. And so, like, Cole Beasley is actually the pivot for DFS and the pickup here. But since he's not available in majority of leagues, that would leave Dawson Knox as a tight end premium guy. Also, before the bye, remember the Steelers ran a season-high rate.
Let me jump in real quick there. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I want to ask you about Gabe Davis, if he's available, because, you know, I agree that Cole Beasley is going to be kind of next guy up, but if they're running more four wide receiver sets, does Gabe Davis see any more time?
Yes, he does. That's actually a pretty sharp call. I mean, I'm putting that in the column. I actually didn't make that connection. I would think he sees a little more time. As always, he's going to have to rely on efficiency, but yes, I would imagine he sees a little more time.
Okay.
That's nice. Where I'm at with that. And I'll add some details to that in the column as well. Steelers before the bye also ran a season high rate of 12 personnel in their first game without Juju Smith-Schuster, as Pat Freiermuth recorded a season high in snaps and targets, a 17.5% target share. And so he's going to come back, and I genuinely think he's a fringe tight end one, middle of the road tight end two, immediately in tight end premium leagues for the uptick in usage he experienced. And then, simply put, just remember that Dan Arnold and Jamal Agnew were without DJ Shark. Were still top four and routes run on the team. Dan Arnold, more of a receiving tight end. Jamal Agnew, who Urban Meyer actually came out on Monday afternoon and said is one of the best playmakers on the team. I imagine for whatever reason, we see more of him. Like, you would think they used the bye to get LaVisca more involved across the field. I bet they got Agnew involved over the bye. So
whatever Urban Meyer did on his bye week, I obviously don't know, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't spent trying to get LaVisca Chenault more involved. I'm pretty sure, as much as I would like that to be the case, I'm pretty sure that's not how he's been it.
So, unfortunately, I also think he's a pretty good pickup. And then we'll have to see how the Seahawks running back shake out. I'll have more details on them in the waiver wire column tomorrow, as well as it's not really a deep league because he probably got picked up, but we're also still watching T.Y. Hilton and Michael Gallup to see what happens. It's hard enough to get Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb there every week. And so Michael Gallup, our priors preseason had to change since the offense changed, you know, the first month and a half of the season. So we're not as high on Michael Gallup anymore. But as a ceiling play, if you're desperate, we expect the Vikings game to absolutely go nuts and shoot out. So I actually don't mind him if he just comes right back and you are that desperate in deeper leagues. What about your thoughts on some deep league options?
Yeah, no, I like the Gallup call. I mean, I'm optimistic. One of the reasons maybe we're seeing them shift to the run is like because they don't have Gallup. That's led to some more Dalton Schultz, a little bit more 12 personnel, I would assume. Maybe we get more 11. Maybe Schultz is kind of established enough of a lead over Jarwin that they go 11 with Schultz, Gallup. And obviously Gallup's a big improvement over Cedric Wilson. So that could actually dictate what they're doing personnel-wise, which could potentially influence their play calling a little bit. And so maybe Gallup kind of creates his own opportunity in that sense. I was going to ask you about Peyton Barber, but it sounds like Josh Jacobs is not looking at an absence post-bye. I would maybe mention him for like a buck or two in deep leagues as just kind of someone that you can stash if you've got the roster spot to burn during a bye week. But even that feels a little thin because the Josh Jacobs news has been pretty optimistic. I do want to ask about Jermichael Hasty. We had a question here in the chat. Is Hasty worth keeping? And, you know, he does kind of, he's a guy that we added very cheaply in some high stakes leagues. So curious to get your thoughts on him.
He was, like Demetric Felton, the product of six teams on bye and the injury apocalypse. That's why we rostered those guys. Now you can keep them just in case another injury happens. But Hasty, for instance, because like Hasty is obviously an Elijah Mitchell injury away from handling double digit touches weekly. But now that more teams are back and we're not in that dire of a situation, hopefully, it's not really a player you want to find yourself flexing. But like six touches and the pass catching role is pretty much exactly what was written in the waiver wire column and exactly what we expected. That was the same role that happened in week two. Whenever he was available behind Elijah Mitchell, he was never going to get, you know, double digit carries, let alone 6 to 8. He was always going to be a pass catching option for PPR leagues. And so since that is what happened, I just hope we're not in a situation where we'll start him. But of course, you also may be in a situation where you still want to keep him because you have the roster spots. If you don't, and you there's someone now like a Gainwell, like even Ahmed, I would expect Ahmed to out-touch Hasty weekly, then I don't mind dropping him for a player like that.
All right, I want to get to a couple more questions here. Before I do, want to let you know that the NFL season is in full swing and the NBC Sports Predictor app has you covered with Sunday Night 7. Predict what will happen between the Cowboys and Vikings on Sunday night for a chance to win up to $100,000. It's free and easy to play. Download today from the App Store or visit NBCSports.com/predictor. Question on Tyson Williams. He's pretty clearly the most talented running back currently healthy on the Ravens, but he's not getting any playing time. He's playing behind Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman. What do we do with him?
I mean, you can drop him. Again, I'm going to go Tyson or bust the entire season. So everyone else should probably drop him, but his four touches to Devontae Freeman, 7, and then Le'Veon Bell, 6. And then if Latavius Murray is able to turn around, then most likely Tyson gets healthy scratched again. I just feel like as a contingency option, we've already seen what he can do. And we know the trade deadline is also November 2nd, right around the corner. And so I would just want to hold on to him for one more week if I can through this waivers period, see what happens, see if anyone's traded, and then we can possibly drop him next week.
Speaking of drops, on the preview show, you were talking about how Allen Robinson needed to get it done this week for us. He didn't. The Bears didn't. Where are you at? It's kind of the hot take that maybe isn't that hot. Like, and I'm not obviously talking about any kind of deep league, any even kind of medium bench league, but you know, I'm in a league that's got, I think, like 5 or 6 bench spots, and it's super flex. So I'm keeping a couple quarterbacks. So I've got like 3 to 4 skill player spots. Those are tight. I've got Allen Robinson there. I mean, I think I should at least shop around on the waiver wire and see what's out there. Where are you at on Allen Robinson? How long are you holding him, assuming you're still trying to hold him?
On a week that had 6 teams on bye, Allen Robinson finished as the wide receiver 69 overall. Not nice, by the way. Nice. Also, just 4 targets, 12.5% target share behind Khalil Herbert, Darnell Mooney, and Cole Kmet. Literally rock bottom, worst case scenario for Allen Robinson outside of injury. So, yes, you can absolutely drop him. I'm not going to put Brandon Ayuk on there just yet. Ayuk's routes are still great. He's not earning targets. He's not separating as well as he did last year. He definitely is in the doghouse because they're not scheming plays for him either, which makes Deebo Samuel an amazing play. But at least the usage is good. Whereas Allen Robinson, this was the week, and he busted, absolutely. Was unusable in a week where we needed to use him. He has yet to finish. Maybe I already said this. I don't know. He has yet to finish as a top 46 wide receiver in any game this year. He's literally just a fringe wide receiver 4, and those are the guys we cut.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, in the situation that I was talking about before, it sounds like you're willing to cut him in some of those medium depth leagues too. But like, if you're looking ahead as to, you know, how does this get fixed? I guess it's a trade, right? That's the only way that Allen Robinson finishes the season super strong, unless like, and or maybe Nagy gets fired and Bill Lazor has some really bright ideas about, you know, I mean, it don't even have to be that bright. Just run like some zone read plays and get the offense rolling a little bit more. But it's a disaster. The Bears offense right now is a disaster. And yeah, the targets for Robinson don't even seem like they're trying to funnel targets his way. You know, he just seems kind of like out there on his own, just trying to get open in an offense that's not throwing and, you know, isn't utilizing its quarterback well. And Fields doesn't look as good as we thought he might be. So
genuinely, if Sterling Shepard, Kenny Golladay, and Kadarius Toney are ruled out again, Darius Slayton's a better play than Allen Robinson this week. That's not even a hot take. It's just true.
That's true. That's just a fact.
So, like, how could you hold on to him?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think on that horrendously sad note, that'll wrap us up for the Week 8 Waiver Wire podcast. Thanks to everyone for watching. Make sure to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, like and subscribe on YouTube, and we will see you back here halftime Monday Night Football next week. Make sure to check out Daigle's waiver wire column as always as well.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.